This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is our regular meeting I'm sorry, Bill, I'm going to mute you for a bit. This is the regular meeting of Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. It is 8:36 p.m. on the East Coast, and I believe we have quorum. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Teresa Allen. Adriana Casanave. James Dingman.
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth. William Foster.
Here.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Thank you. Heather Gray.
Here.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Thank you. Avalia Jones. Ali Alexa.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marianne Martinez. James McFadden. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Jerome Salam.
Yes.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Thank you. Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis.
Here.
Thank you. Can we go back? Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you. Adriana Casanave. Fred Dodsworth. Okay, I'm gonna be here. Donna Grimes. Avalia Jones. I see you. I don't hear you.
Avalia's on the road, so she'll do her best to participate.
Okay. Marianne Martinez. We can't hear you, Avalia.
Marianne is present.
Thank you, Marianne. Okay, now I hear Avalia. Is that you?
No, that was actually Teresa laughing at Avalia, who's talking, okay. But muted.
But I can see Avalia. Okay. James McFadden.
James McFadden sent me a request for an excused absence. He's on vacation.
Okay, 17 are present.
All right, great.
And then, let's see.
Oh, Stephanie, keep going. Yep, sorry.
Chair, I'm so sorry. Point of personal privilege, please.
Stephanie Wells.
Let her finish the roll call, please. Go ahead.
I thought she had finished. I'm sorry.
Here.
Thank you. Arthur Schwartz. Me, Nancy Sorden. Here. Markeisha Vincent Sampson. Okay. Okay, I'm done.
Point of personal privilege, please.
Yes, Vanessa.
Okay. So I also am on vacation, but I will participate as much as I can.
Ah, great. Thank you. We will. We appreciate you calling in while you're on vacation. Let me move on to the next item, which is the report out from the executive session of the July 20th meeting. And the report out is the PMB met in closed session to discuss confidential financial, contractual, legal, and governance issues The PMB also appointed a committee to investigate the status of Eric Jacobson on the KPFK LSB and suspended KPFK elections to national committees pending the timely outcome of that investigation. Next up is excused absences, and I noted that McFadden asked for an excused absence. I don't believe I heard from the others, but I am still checking my email. How many people are, can you just read the names of those who are absent?
Yes. Adriana Casaneve, Fred Dodsworth, Donna Grimes, James McFadden.
Got it. Is there a motion on excusing absences?
I move that we excuse absences.
And you mean of all those not present, Teresa?
Yes. Casaneve, Bosworth, Grimes, and McFadden.
Got it. Great. And Sagerton, was that you seconding the motion?
Yes.
Got it. Is there any discussion of the motion? Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to the motion? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the motion passed. That brings us up to timekeepers. Can I get someone to keep time of people?
All right, I'll do it, Julie.
Thank you, Heather. And do I have a volunteer who will time items?
Yeah.
Me. Thank you, Darlene. Much appreciated. I know that we use the same people all the time, and I just will invite others to, you know, feel free to volunteer. It's not that hard. It's not that hard, and B, it's good to give the people who do it all the time a break every once in a while, right? So next we're up to the 5-minute item, which is agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, and I will try to quickly read through that. Item 3 is approving minutes of open sessions. Item 4 is a report from the NES on the 2023 delegate elections. Item 5 is committee reports, and there's, of course, the longish list of committee reports. Item 6 is an affiliates report. 7 is we're starting to get into the work of the term working group here. 7 is introducing motions on terms for those who will be elected in the 2023 elections. That's a 20-minute item. Notice I said introduce. 8 is motion on KPFT LSB delegate question. That's a 15-minute item. Then we have the ED report and Q&A for 20 minutes. General counsel report and Q&A for 10. Unfinished business, new business, and then move into executive session at a time certain of 11 p.m. And that's the open session portion of the agenda. Remove the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Aki. Any discussion of the agenda? All right. Are there any objections to approving the open session portion of the agenda? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved. Which takes us to, I have to scroll back up, takes us to the next item on the agenda, approving any minutes from open sessions. Nancy, do we have any minutes to approve?
Yes, July 20th, open session minutes were sent around just before the meeting, about 8:10 or something like that.
Got it. Thank you. I recognize that people may not have had much of an opportunity to look at the open session minutes from the July 20th meeting, but are there any objections to, first off, Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the July 20th meeting? Anyone?
Move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Aki. Is there a second?
James, second.
Thank you, Sagerton. Is there any discussion of the minutes of the July 20th meeting? Hearing none, are there any objections to approving the minutes of the July 20th meeting? Hearing no objections, we'll consider those minutes approved. As always, if somebody finds a correction that they'd like made later when they've had more time to review, by all means, we can revisit that and make any corrections and approve again. So that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is a report from the National Election Supervisor on the 2023 delegate elections. This is a 15-minute item, although I'll note that it's already 8:47 because we got a slightly late start, and Renee has a hard stop at 6 p.m. her time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So, Renee, take it away. Now, thank you for coming, by the way.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I sent everybody the outline of what I'm presenting. I'm basically just going to run through that. Did everybody get that? I sent it to the PNB general email.
I sent it. Yes.
Sent it to we everybody. Have it. Okay. Great.
Yep. Go ahead.
Great. Wonderful. Basically the budget is the first item, and essentially right now what we're looking at is a potential extension of the election, because of not having the funding for the ballot vendors. And essentially I spoke with them, and, they explained that, you know, if we're not able to deposit tonight or at the very latest, then we'll definitely have to extend. And, if we can't get it by Monday, essentially, the day that they receive the deposit, we have to count 3 weeks out from that. And that will be the first day that we'll be able to start the balloting period. So in the table, I just put a couple of numbers in here just so people could calculate for themselves, what the cost of an extension would be. And the other thing that was updated on this budget was the honest ballot portion. We're not going to do postcards. We're going to use SMS as much as possible, although that is dependent on us getting approval by Constant Contact to send SMSs. And in order for that to happen, we need each general manager to put a little SMS consent box next to the donation, next to the field where the people enter their phone numbers on the donation page. It seems pretty straightforward. And I thought that that would happen fairly quickly, but it's been a week. It has only happened at one station so far. So if anybody has, and I reminded the general managers about this, and it is pretty important because we don't want this paper portion to increase. So moving on, the status of the lists, and this is related to what I presented above. We see the general numbers for each station in the first table here, and then I basically first did a crosstab of SMS/email completion in the second table. And the way that you read these tables, the percentages that are presented, they're column percentages. So if you did want to, for example, figure out, you know, the row percentages, like, for example, what was the percentage overall that has SMS, you would just basically divide, you know, the column field by the total with respect to the rows, right? So I just wanted to explain that really quickly. So those percentages are corresponding to columns, but you can figure out the row percentages pretty easily. And then just stratified by station. So basically email completeness varies between just under 20% to around just over 25% incompleteness, sorry. And these are actual, I did run it through Constant Contact already, so I pulled out what bounced to. And for right now, that's all I really wanted to present. So I'll just leave it open for questions the rest of the time.
Sharon to the stack.
Gotcha, Sharon. I see Vanessa and Sue too. So I'll go Vanessa, Sharon, Sue, just so that I remember. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. Thank you for the report. I wanted to ask you a question. I sent an email. I didn't see a response, but I could have missed it because I've been distracted with work and going on vacation. So, but my question is about the carts. I keep hearing people refer to the carts, but I'm not aware of an opportunity to record them or when they'll be aired or kind of how that's working. And wondering if I missed that information, how I missed it. So I sent, the email to you, copied other people who I know are running, to try to get that information for everyone. So am I missing something about the
well,
cart?
So the carts aren't required in the bylaws. So if the station wants to run candidate specific carts, then it's happening, but there's only one station right now that wants to do that. That's KPFK. And so, you know, I'm not going to force that to happen unless I have essentially support from management at the station to make it happen. And what's definitely happening and what I have all, you know, program directors, managers on board with, is organizing candidate forums. Now that would happen the first week. So these would be live on-air candidate forums where candidates would make statements and take listener questions. That is what is written in the bylaws. There's no bylaws requirement for carts. And given that, you know, this is a very condensed, election period, it's not something that I really want to focus a lot of anybody's energy on. And there's been a lot of resistance to it in the past. So I'm sure in the future, if people want to revisit the use of candidate carts, but I think for this cycle, given it's not a requirement, if, you know, WPFW wanted to do it and, you know, I can inquire again, but it does not seem like there's much support for that. So really my focus is making sure that we have the candidate forums.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to clarify. I'm not advocating for or against them, but I just keep hearing reference to them and just wondering if I and other people are missing information.
No, you're not missing information. Yeah. Okay. No, I haven't sent and I'm still getting the stations to confirm what dates, what times they're going to offer for the candidate forums. Once I get that confirmed, then I'm going to coordinate with you directly for that, right? But I haven't sent anything with that regard yet. We don't even have at this point a start date for the balloting period. So
when you say coordinate with you being the candidates?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you so much.
No problem. Yeah.
And next was going to be Sharon.
You mentioned the SMF, I think it was.
Yes.
And what is that short for?
What is that short for? I just know it's text messaging, but with media attached to it. So, you know, like links and stuff. No, SMS, what does SMS stand for? Does anybody know? I just know it's text messaging. I know MMS would include other media.
Like short message,
service. Yeah, short message service, something like that. It's one SMS is 160 characters. That's all I know. Yeah. Sent by text to somebody's cell phone.
Yeah, it's exactly short message service. I confirm that. So, yeah. Great. Next is Sue Goodwin. Go ahead, Sue.
Hello. Thank you for your report. It was very precise. Now, I heard you say something is expected from the ballot vendor in 3 weeks. Now, this is connected to the state of our finances. If in 3 weeks nothing has changed, or in fact, our finances are worse, we are deeper in debt, what will happen? Because that is likely the case.
Well, actually, no, it's, they expected it a few days ago. So that's already passed. What I meant was once, if we don't get them the deposit either by tonight or by Monday, whatever date that we do get them the deposit by, we have to add 3 weeks to that date for that date to be the balloting start period, right? Which will be open for 45 days.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sue. Anyone else with a question for Renee?
Yeah, James?
Yeah, go ahead, Sagerton.
Thank you. Renee, I know that it's difficult sometimes to make announcements because then if you have to change, you hear a lot of noise about inconsistency. Will you be announcing the, you know, right now people are thinking that the voting or the ballots will be hitting their email boxes on September 15th. Will we be letting them know about these potential changes?
Yes. I mean, as soon as, you know, essentially, yeah, it's basically tonight. I just found out myself how much leeway we have, and I only found out this afternoon. So we don't have a lot of leeway. So that being said, you know, now all the messaging has to change, all the text has to change on the website. But the thing is, I don't even have a date yet. So it's, yeah, it's good. A little hard to make a message about something that is unknown. We don't even have an idea. So I'm tempted to hold off until I know the date.
Understood. Thank you for that. Yeah. Chair, I have one more question.
Yeah, make it quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Renee, frequently in elections in Pacifica, as you're aware, we hear a lot of complaints about this is unfair, this was unfair, that was unfair. Especially from people who don't get their qualifying work in on time. Do you want to say anything about that? Or maybe, you know, I don't know if we should deal with that in executive session. I don't really see why, but do you know, there's a lot of noise out there about things being unfair or even, you know, unfairly.
I think there was a bit of a confusion with respect to what actually happened. So the nominations phase was extended for, I think, a week, right? Or 6 days, right? From the 30th of June to the 6th of July. It was a week. And then subsequently, I gave a little more time, but not for the nominations phase to be extended, because that's opening up a whole entire can of worms. So in fact, if candidates were missing signatures, but signatures of people who hadn't, and say they sent me signatures of people who never even attempted to contact me once during the nominations phase, either by voicemail, email, or any way, shape or form, and never even contacted me after the fact, I can't accept those as nominations. You know, I think there was a bit of a misunderstanding. The nominations phase was not extended. There were a few candidates that hadn't signed fair campaign provisions, and there were a few nominators that had registered, but they registered 20 minutes before the closing. So I actually didn't have time to validate them and give them, you know, essentially that time to then. So the way that the system is set up, it's set up with a date, right? And once the date hits, everything's closed. And if we want to change the date, when you have to open everything up again, which was not was not necessary for one thing. And everybody had time, you know, to get their paperwork in. I think if people are complaining, I mean, I don't really know what to say to them because, you know, I've been in contact with them individually, text messages, phone calls, emails multiple times to explain what happens. And yet it's still sort of perpetuating. I mean, the same messages are perpetuating that this, that, or the other was unfair, but I think the only, yeah, I don't really know what else to do. You know, I mean, there are, well, hopefully maybe, there is another election cycle supposedly in, you know, in less than 12 months. So, and I think everybody who was affected by, you know, not completing their paperwork, it's not like this is their first rodeo. They've done this before. So, you know, I couldn't justify just perpetually making exceptions. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. And then you might as well not have any deadlines, or any cutoffs for that matter. And then, you know, I mean, yeah, I just, yeah.
Thank you, Renee. I think that will provide some confidence to people who aren't sure about the details. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Chair, we are 2 minutes after your end time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually I'm going to teach a class. So
you have to
just
go.
About an hour. Yeah.
All right. Great. Well, we may send you some other questions, but thank you
okay,
so much,
yes,
Renee.
Please.
Very much appreciate
all
you.
The questions.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Sorry if there were others who did have questions for Renee, but she really did have a hard stop. So, so that was the NES report, and that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is committee reports. So we'll cruise through the committees. The first committee I have up is the audit committee, and Aki, I think Susan Young's the chair of that committee, and I believe she gave you a report to share here. Is that it? Am I right? You're muted, Aki.
Can you get back to me on that? I have to check the email.
Okay. We'll circle back to you. Next up is the coordinating committee, Nancy Sorden. Did we lose Nancy? We appear to have lost Nancy for a moment.
Something was in the chat.
She's having audio problems and she'll be right back. So, maybe let's just go to, the finance committee, Jim Sagerton. Sagerton, if you're talking, you're muted. All right, I'm going to keep going to committees until I find somebody who's ready to give a report. Next up is governance. Beth, are you available?
I'm available. Do you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Excellent. Hang on. I've got to switch back the keypad to the report. I just emailed the report, so everyone should have a written copy. And this isn't going to take anywhere near 10 minutes. So the PNB Governance Committee held its regular monthly meeting on Wednesday, July 26, 2023, with 11 of 16 members present. The election of a chair was certified and other procedural matters were taken care of. The newly created bylaws subcommittee has not yet met, but shall soon. The next regular PNB Governance Committee meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, August 28, 2023, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time as is posted to KPFTX. That's the full report. I would note that this is, we failed to make quorum 2 out of the last 3 meetings before this. So it was a real relief to get that many people in the room together and so that we could catch up on the backlog of procedural things. There was one motion that was discussed, but found to be out of order, and advice was given about how that individual could find another way for that motion if they chose to, but that it wouldn't be coming forward from governance. Are there questions?
One thing I will point out, Beth, this isn't strictly, I don't know if this is a question, but I think you stated the date as August 28th, but you said Wednesday, but that Wednesday is the 23rd, the date. So it's the fourth Wednesday, but it's really the 23rd. So
good catch. Thank you. Each of the 2 reports I give has 3 separate dates in them, and trying to get them all lined up is a challenge. So thank you for catching that. Now while we can set the record straight.
Yep. It is correct on KPFTX. So that's not the issue. Okay. Any questions for Beth? Teresa, is your hand up or is that a legacy? Legacy? Any other questions for Beth on governance? All right.
Chair, I'm back if you want to come to finance.
Oh, yes. Let's go to you, in Finance Committee, Sagerton.
Yeah, my apology. I'm on my phone and I was away from the Zoom screen looking at Renee's report and I didn't get back in time. So
fair enough.
My apology. So, now I'm going to the agenda where I hope I'll find, and I think I will find, the motions from the Finance Committee in the appendix. Yeah.
No, you won't find them in the appendix. I'm sorry.
Okay,
should we come back to you?
These are perfunctory. I'd like to be able to read them, but maybe, you know, they're not really critical to pass tonight. I mean, one is the KPFK budget. That is important.
Okay.
But if the members haven't had a chance to look at them, perhaps we should do it at the next meeting. If we can get them, if we can send them around, that'd be fine too.
Yeah, I will continue to look for them so that we can, see if we can't knock
earlier.
This off.
They've already
I'm
been
sorry.
Sent. They've already
yeah,
been
yeah, yeah.
Sent.
But, Darlene, could you, remind people what day they were sent?
I can tell you that, sure. Some of them, one of them was sent a couple of weeks ago, and one of them was probably just sent tonight. That's the KPFK budget, which we just passed at the last NFC meeting a week ago.
That's the one I was referring to.
Yeah. You sent, okay. I believe Nancy sent out the,
send it.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I could send it. The one on the NFC has reviewed the KPFK.
Yes.
Okay. I will send that right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was very busy with other stuff today. Shocking. I have them in front of me right now. Do you want to do the KPFK one first?
Sure. Yeah. If you could read them, Chair, that'd be fine.
I can read that one. So, and I'll paste it in the chat in just a second. The motion on the KPFK budget says the KPFK LSB has reviewed the KPFK 2023 April through September budget. It reflects a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses. It is a deficit budget. We believe the personnel costs will decrease in the coming months. The building sale is an unknown. We send the budget to the National Finance Committee for their review. Oh, I'm sorry. That was what the LSB said. Okay. Here's what the NFC said. The Finance Committee presents this budget. Oh, I'm sorry. That was from the local Finance Committee to the LSB. It says basically the same thing. Sorry. It's not an NFC motion.
Right, the NFC motion is included in that text.
It's in the chat.
We don't have minutes, so I sent it in an email thread from the official NFC email list to give it some validity.
Okay, so I'll read that now. It is the NFC has reviewed the KPFK 2023 April to September budget. It reflects a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses. It is a deficit budget. We believe the personnel costs will decrease in the coming months. We send the budget to the PMB for their review. And then, of course, it was sent to the PMB for their review. So there we go.
Chair, can you read the vote on that in the NFC?
I'm not sure that I can off the top of my head.
No objection.
There you go.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm just going to say, you know, people might want not want to approve a budget that they haven't seen. So I'll again open the possibility that we could do this the next time, but I'll remind everybody that it was passed without objection. The NFC consists of directors from the five stations and the treasurers of the five stations. The entire meeting on this budget went over it in some detail, and again, it was approved without objection. So with that proviso, I would, you know, present the motion to the board and ask for it to, if there's any discussion, well, of course, that's your job, Chair, ask if there's any discussion and then put it to a vote.
Thank you. Are there any questions about the KPFK budget motion? Darlene, I see your hand.
Right. James, the current amount is listed in a column next to it. A column that says 2 years ago. Why was that picked, and what relevance do you think it has?
Well, this is the 2023 budget. We shouldn't forget. And what we did there was we did actuals, because, you know, it's already, we're in the seventh month now,
right,
of the current fiscal year. So, the budget part of this is just the latter part, from April to the end of September, which will be the conclusion of the fiscal year. And the prior part of that is actuals, and they were comparing them to the actuals of the previous year. So you can see the trends.
So total 2 years ago is the actuals from the 2022 fiscal year that ended on October 1st or September 31st of 22.
Right. So that's a year ago.
Okay, because it says total 2 years ago, and that's what my confusion is.
Right. Fiscal year, you know, how it runs.
So, James, is it 1 year ago or 2 years ago?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not looking at it right now. I'm on my phone, and I believe it was the actuals from the prior year. So that would be the fiscal year 22 budget.
And those are the actuals from
those
that?
Those are the actuals. We have actuals from October 1st through April for the first part of the budget, for the fiscal 23 budget. And then we go over to budgets, you know, which are predictions until the end of the fiscal year. So we have actuals from the prior year, and then we have actuals from the first 7 months of this fiscal year.
Okay. So the actuals, now you were saying it was a budget estimate. So your estimate, again, a little confused because, I'm not used to reading a deficit budget. Are you saying, what is the final, is it 228,963 in arrears in total or short in total, even though it says October through March? That's okay. How much they lost October through March, and October through September, you don't list how much more you expect that to be.
Part of the problem you might be having is when you look at this budget, in a certain format, you have to scroll sideways.
You have to scroll sideways. Yes, sir. Yeah. That's part of the issue. So my question is, all right, let's just go with net income or loss. Are you saying that in the first 6 months of the fiscal year of 2023, which is October 1st of 2022 till March 31st of 2023, KPFK was 228,963 in the red?
That sounds right. Again, I'm not looking at it, so it's difficult.
And you're submitting a budget that doesn't show what you think the losses will be.
Well, if you look at this, you know, if you scroll from left to right, when you're in the budget part, which starts in April, see that the revenue estimates and the expense estimates are now the same for each month, and they're about equal to what they've been in the actuals. So we're approximating that the numbers will stay about the same through the rest of the year.
So that's an additional
Darlene, your time 50, is 000, up.
50,000.
Darlene, your time is up.
Me too. Thank you. James?
Are there other questions for Jim?
Was there a final question from Darlene there? I didn't hear it.
Yes. So your additional losses of 50,242 for an additional 5 months.
Yes. That would be right. They do say
Thank
that they
Chair.
Expect the personnel costs to go down, but the losses will continue. And I will say that this, we were all painfully aware that this was a deficit budget. I don't want to throw poor Stephanie under the bus, but we certainly asked her if she was in favor of this. And her answer is yes, I think on the same grounds that I'm in favor of this, which is we're almost 3/4 of the way through the fiscal year. We just need to get something on paper so we can start to analyze what's happening and move on. We have to get a budget now for next year. We're approaching the deadline for the budgets to be submitted for next year, and we haven't even started on that. So we just want to get this under our belts and then move on to the next year and, continue to make adjustments. That's what we have to do.
Understood.
Beth von Gunten.
Thank you. Yes, just to put some of this in perspective, we've had more than, KPFK has had a couple of years, 2.5 years now, of a long string of interim GMs. On very temporary basis, sometimes from a great distance and not always all that engaged. And only in the last 10 months have we had someone on site way more than full-time and very familiar with the station and dedicated. And he has been managing to cut expenses throughout the system, some of which will only become apparent in the course of time. You can cut now. The personnel things will take time to work through the pipeline, but in the coming months, it will become apparent that what is being done now is much more realistic in terms of what we're bringing in. A lot of what the excess is right now is aged payables that were accrued before he came online. Things like the Edison bill in which was there was a moratorium on utilities during the pandemic for a couple of years. And when that was lifted, all that came due at once on one day. And we had to negotiate for a payment plan over time. Arthur was able to, the Pacifica General Counsel was able to negotiate an extension of that half again beyond what they offered us. So to a total of 18 months. We're now something like 14 months through that.
Time.
A lot of the...
Was that the person's time or the item's time?
That was person's time.
The person's time, Jim. Sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Beth, but go ahead.
Sorry.
I just want to add something to what Beth just said, and that is that while we are making adjustments, personnel adjustments don't come into effect right away. We have to pay severance. Sometimes we have to continue to pay health care. So it's going to take time for those personnel adjustments to take effect.
That's right. It's usually at least a couple of months. Do people feel
we have run out of time for this item.
Yeah. Do people feel comfortable with EFK budget recognizing, the limitations that the finance committee noted? Are there any objections to an NFC motion to approve the KPFK budget?
This is Teresa.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I'm never happy with a deficit budget.
Understood.
I would just like to recognize, I think we should say something about the general manager, the board, and the ED need to come to the PNB with a proposal of how they're going to do something about it. What's the plan to be operating in the black? I mean, you use the term accept the budget, approve. You use the term approve. But I don't think we should approve it. Well, I'd love to hear other people's ideas on this, but to me, this is a problem that we're resigned to deficit budgets. That is
okay. So hang on. So I recognized you because, I asked if there were objections, right?
Okay.
And so the point is we're past time on this item, or at least I think that's what Darlene told me.
Yes.
And so the point is, if we're going to keep talking about this, I need a motion to extend.
To extend 5 minutes.
Is there a second to Dingaman's motion to extend for
James,
five?
James will second.
Thank you, James. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hearing none. Five more minutes. So I see a couple of hands. I see Teresa's, Dingaman's, and Beth's. Teresa.
Chairman, I also answered Teresa's concern there.
Let me let, Sagerton answer your question. Teresa, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I believe, again, I can't see it right at the moment, but I believe we didn't use the word approve in the motion. I believe we used the word accept.
Yes, and I misspoke and said the word approve. but that's okay. Only because I didn't have the motion right in front of my eyeballs at that moment. So accept is a much better word.
Accepting it as a working document that gives us some idea of where we are, not that we approve of a deficit budget.
Correct. Thank you very much. My apologies for not quite getting it right. Teresa, go ahead.
I would suggest that I submit a motion. We submit a motion requesting that the GM and or the IGM and the LSB are charged with finding a solution to this deficit budget situation. Submit it to the ED to bring to us.
Is there a second for Teresa's motion? Oh, hang on, Teresa. Let me ask you one question. Are you referring to FY23 or are you referring to FY24?
I guess that's the question I have for Mr. Sagerton. Do you not feel this is necessary in that in the very near future, we're going to be coming up with another budget from KPFK?
Teresa, what I would say is that it's an ongoing process. The executive director is very involved at KPFK. We are working with the general manager there to, you know, try and get these adjustments so that we can get this under control. So it's, I don't think we necessarily need something to deal with the 23 budget. It'll be part of the budget process for the 24 budget. And I said we're 3/4 of the way through the fiscal year, but the fiscal year ends on September 30th and it's August right now. So we're very close to the end of this fiscal year. We're just trying to get this on paper so we can shift gears, start working on the next budget. And that's where we'll continue to chip away at these, adjustments that we need to make.
Thanks.
My motion will stand if I have a second. And if other people on the board feel there's a need for that.
And Teresa, your time is up. So,
Dingaman, I'll recognize you.
Thank you. Obvious. None of these deficit budgets are acceptable. And it's sort of obvious. We just have to, figure out, deal with what the situation is right now and figure out how to change it. It's as simple as that. And, to have a lengthy discussion about having the GM and the LSB come in and with a plan, that's fine. But, you know, I think that all of us know what the broader scope of all the problems are that have to be dealt with. And it's unacceptable to have deficit budgets. We know damn well that's the case. And we just have to figure out moving ahead how to solve all these problems in the specific stations, including New York, that have this issue. Thank you.
Thanks. Beth, you're next.
Thank you. Yes, I think that these are the most realistic numbers we're going to get. I think that the GM and the ED have presented at length to the Finance Committee on this topic, which is what committees are for. That's where the detail work is done. I don't think we're going to get better numbers just by castigating the people working on it. They're clear what the problem is. It's like the PNB demanding that the ED present us with all the money we need to do our plan, to have all the money we need to do everything we need to do when we need to do it. I mean, that would be pie in the sky. And to reject a deficit budget's what's real right now. And I will accept it based on reality. It's a reality check. I will accept it rather than go without a budget. It makes no sense to me for Pacifica to go without a budget and just kind of leave it up to the imagination of whoever on the staff cares to deal with it. That's not realistic. It's the board that's responsible for this. I recognize the problems with the deficit budget. That's our reality for now. I also recognize the process. The progress being made, I commend the interim GM for the amazing work he's done to bring us this far, and look forward to further progress. So I will be supporting this passing, this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Sue Goodwin, you're next.
We are at time.
Oh.
Point of information.
Hi, this is Sue. And I just want to say, I find it impossible that we can resolve this without significant cuts in spending. Do we have a process in place to evaluate those cuts? Is it up to the executive director to suggest those cuts? I'm unclear on that.
I'll just quickly answer that. We have been making cuts at KPFK for, you know, probably the better part of 2 years now. It's hard to make those cuts, you know, instantaneously, right? And as we've noted, that to the extent that they include personnel expenses, severances have to be paid, and that means the actual savings don't appear for months. So, I mean, I think it's true that we do have a process. It's a slow slog, and really what we need at KPFK is we need more members and more listeners, to bring in more revenue. That's the real thing. We've done an awful lot of cutting already.
All right. So I appreciate what you've done. And are you saying then it's up to each station to make those decisions? And is each station given a figure, like you are expected to cut X percent, or it doesn't work that way?
Chair, could I give that one a try?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, the budget process is laid out in the bylaws. It basically starts with management. They present a budget to the local finance committee. They work on it. Then it's passed to the LSB. If the local LSB passes it, it comes to the NFC. We work on it. We can make adjustments or recommend adjustment to the PNB, and then the PNB looks at it. And again, I'll just say, with only within 2 months to go in this fiscal year, I think we should just approve this now, get it off the table, and continue the work of cutting that's been going on for a couple of years at KPFK in order to, get there.
And let me just add, when Sagerton just said approve, he meant approve the motion to accept.
Indeed, I did. Thank you, Chair.
Quite welcome. Darlene, if it's quick.
Yeah, I don't think we should focus on having the GM or the board necessarily come to us and make an explanation, blah, blah, blah. You can only cut expenses so far and stay open. And, when there's already blood on the floor, how much more cutting do you think you're going to get? The issue is income, not expenses. Stop. I mean, looking at the expenses is the, responsible thing to do. But the problem is income. The problem isn't expenses.
All right. Thank you. Let me now go and ask whether there are any objections to the NFC motion to accept the KPFK budget for FY23. Hearing no objections, we'll consider the budget accepted. Sagerton, was there a second?
Very quickly, Chair. Do we need an extension?
We probably do.
I think we can do this in 3 minutes.
I have
three
reported minutes? That we were out of time about 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
All right. I move to extend for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Dingman. Is there a second?
James.
Thank you, Sagerton. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 3 minutes? Hearing none, go ahead, Sagerton.
Okay, and I'm going to again, Chair, ask
you to read
this one.
I'm sorry. Hang on 1 second. Dingman, did you say?
Mr. Dingman said five.
Did you say five?
Yeah, five.
Okay, five is what we did then. Sorry, I misspoke. Okay, go ahead, Sagerton.
Okay, this next one, Chair, which I'll ask if you could read as well, please, for me, which I appreciate, is about, it's just a protocol for when we release the monthly profit and loss statements to the public. And I'm, by the public, I mean to that the treasurers can bring it back to their finance committees, that the general managers can use it, you know, how they wish to. So we used to have with, when we had Netta, they were an outside entity. They were, creating our monthly P&Ls. They came to the officers of the board, the executive director, the national finance committee, and the general managers of the units, of the eight units, at the same time. Now we have in-house, this is being done in-house with Markeisha Vincent, and so this is just a policy on how this gets released. And this came about because there are certain people who, you know, crave this information, and sometimes it gets released in an untimely way, and it results in, because it hasn't been reviewed, sometimes in the past there have been gross errors in what was released, and that causes a public relations issue for the network and necessary, you know, concern. So this is, Chair, if you could read it now, you'll see that this is just a protocol for how and when we release the monthly law statements.
Before, thank you. Before I read it, I am going to acknowledge Nancy, who I think is going to say something important about this.
I'm just, I thought that we did that last meeting.
That's what I was thinking too.
Let me check the minutes.
Okay. I
mean, it's in the minutes. Let me just double check. And
okay. Yeah. That's right. That's my recollection too. And, I thought that, the NFC thing that we didn't get to yet was the budget timelines, the budget submission timelines for FY 24 and 25.
Yes, that is correct. And Chair, yeah. I'm going to suggest now, I'm going to double down on the suggestion that we do this next time. The timelines, you know, we're so far out of, compliance with the timelines. Let's just do this at our next meeting.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And Nancy, have you been able to confirm that we did this other motion on the 20th?
I'm putting it in the chat. This was the one you're talking about. This was approved, at the last meeting.
Yes, that's the same one I was just gonna, yes. Okay. So, all right. So that's the end of the Finance Committee report. Let's see. We had also skipped over, audit. Are you, Aki, are you ready to give a brief audit committee report?
You know, I could not find the information. So,
okay.
I had to
fair enough. Okay. Well, I think the upshot of the audit committee is that it hasn't met recently, and that's partly because we have not yet begun the audit. So, Nancy, we also skipped over coordinating committee because that's when you were having audio trouble. So I'll give you up to 3 minutes to give the coordinating committee report.
Oh, okay. So the coordinating committee met the last Thursday of July, and we did have quorum. And so we selected chair, me, and secretary, me. And so then we proceeded to work on the agendas for tonight and forwarded, you know, decided, you know, hashed out what would be on them. And then we adjourned.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Any questions for Nancy? All right. We did finance, we did governance. That brings us to elections, Aki.
Yeah, sure.
This is a 10-minute item. Go ahead.
We met yesterday, and basically there were two items that were considered. First one was the report by Stephanie, the ED. She basically gave us what already Renee said, that we're behind on getting the money to pay the vendors. So one of the things that we're going, it's not really a motion, but election committee recommends urgent short-term fundraising, mainly to reach station to seek major donors, because we're basically $11,000 behind in getting the Simply Voting to start. So if each station can come up with $2,000 from some major donors, that might be one way to get that money. But anyway, just a recommendation. The other item that we considered was Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman basically raised the issue of all of the complaints being made by especially KPFT and WPFW. I think that we thought that those issues are outside the scope of what the committee can do. I think they're up to the NES to basically address those. So there was one motion about KPFT that was voted down. And then there was one item at WPFW about one particular candidate. And I was basically communicating with the Minerva from WPFW, and I told her that I'll convey that information to the NES. Anyway, that's about the extent of the meeting yesterday.
All right, thank you. Okay, so two things. One is that I see Adriana's hand, which implies that Adriana is here. Adriana, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm here since a long time, but that's okay. I have a question for the election committee. I'm intrigued. I didn't have obviously the option to get into the... What was the motion about KPFT that you said that is out of the scope? What was the motion, and was the motion passed or rejected? And what was exactly the motion, Aki, if you can explain to me? Thank you.
Well, I think the motion was basically to take up the issue of the 10 candidates at KPFT, and the election committee discussed that. And the motion basically was, lost by basically 3 yes to 8 no, 1 abstention, that it was up to the NES to deal with that instead of the election committee.
I'm sorry, but wasn't the motion about asking the National Election Supervisor about those issues, or was just making a decision?
No, it was supposed to, we're supposed to, discuss the issue of the 10 candidates, I think.
And you think that there wasn't, I mean, the election committee voted against that, you mean?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Teresa, you're up.
Madam Chair and, Mr. Tanaha, the chair of elections. We did pass a motion last night with no objection, I believe, requesting that because we need $11,000 to pay Simply Voting, and I didn't get a chance to ask the election supervisor today what the penalty will be if we don't come up with that money. I mean, I know we're paying 18% because we're behind on a loan. There was a motion that came out of elections, and that motion is that the PMB come up with $1,000 and that each LSB, come up with $2,000 ASAP. And I've put something in the chat. I'm offering $100 as a PNB member. I'm offering $100 as a KPFT LSB member. I'm offering it now. And if we, I don't know exactly what we can do to get the LSB members to come up with the money unless each of us goes back to our LSB and calls those other 23 people and asks. But if each member of the LSB comes up with at least $100,
then we will have the money to pay simply voting and save ourselves a lot of grief.
Teresa, your time is up.
Yeah, thank you. Teresa, so the NES did effectively explain, I mean, I don't think there's a monetary penalty, but there's a time penalty associated with if it takes us 3 weeks, you know, to find the money, then that delays when simply voting can get started. And as the NES pointed out, they need 3 weeks once we pay them before they can send the ballots out. So if we want ballots to go out, you know, it's already August 3rd. If we want ballots to go out in early September, we basically have to find the money like in the next few days, right?
Yes.
And so if we don't find the money until, say, you know, the 15th of August, then the ballots aren't going to go out in early September. And there's a point at which, you know, if we have too much delay, then, you know, we're jeopardizing, you know, the possibility that we could get the elections completed so that the delegates can be seated in the December meeting, which is, after all, you know, one of the key provisos in the bylaws. So we really
I believe there is a cost in salary to the NES when we delay.
Yeah, Stephanie, you could answer that question.
Yes, I believe that that might be also in the report that Renee provided, is that with every extension, there is an increase in the cost of not only her cost, but then we also extend the Fair Provisions campaign manager cost. We also add also some admin costs because we do have somebody that's also helping in dealing with emails and phone calls and things like that. I think she broke it down, and this is just off of memory because I don't have the report in front of me. I think it was like $300-something a day, but it is in the report.
It's I found it. It's $330 per day. And so that's the sense in which, you know, in talking about raising this $11,000, we're not talking about doing on-air fundraising. We're talking about tapping major donors and LSB delegates, you know, and I know some people, who are delegates, you know, because we're elected delegates, as opposed to on a give or get board, you know, may not have the means, but people who don't have the affluence should at least, leverage their contacts in terms of influence to help raise some money. So, you know, these elections are important and, they're important generally, but in this year, they're important for our survival. So, the elections committee, is it true that you all passed a motion saying raise the 11,000 by saying 2,000 from each station and 1,000 from the PNB?
Yes, without objection.
Okay.
Chair, okay. The time is up for this issue.
Got it. So the elections committee put a motion forward for us. So, folks, I think we need to, deal with the election committee motion.
I would like to say one other thing to motivate. Even if we come up with this $11,000, that is not covering other expenses. So it's really critical that we put up right now. Maybe we can have a national fundraising day and interview Al Franken and have people talking about elections to raise the other money. But this money we need now, and it will save us considerable amount of money if we raise it now. So I'm not asking anybody to come up with 1,000. Somebody here might be willing to come up with 1,000. Somebody at WBAI might be able to tap somebody that can give that money or half of it, and the others can chip in. But I think we need to commit now to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So there's the election committee motion is on the floor, and it's, you know, that the solution to the 11,000 that we need as soon as possible is 2,000 from each station and 1,000 from the PNB. Are there any objections to the motion? hearing. Go ahead. Your question, Adriana.
Yes. I mean, what I keep not understanding is some of these issues. We are not solving any of the problems. We are not answering, but we keep asking for money, to add money that we don't have for an election that till now is disenfranchising the membership. Is that what you are trying to, the motion is doing? Because
I'm sorry, Adriana, I do not understand it. Yeah, I don't understand how you're getting disenfranchising the members out of passing a motion that says we're going to raise the money ASAP so that the elections can proceed.
Without what I'm asking is, when we have candidates disenfranchised, when we have stations that don't have the members fairly.
Chair, we've been out of time for this item, including rhetorical questions.
Yeah, we have more than one chair now, yes.
We have a timekeeper, Adriana.
Yes, but the commentaries, I don't think that we are worthy. You are the chair, but that's okay. What I'm saying, I'm believing that this is the problem that we are having, that we are trying to solve something behind and without the support of the membership. That is what I'm thinking. And when the election committee believe that they shouldn't talk or shouldn't ask about problems in the elections, they are still again the problem.
No. I think, I'm sorry. I believe that the point is that the elections committee said it wasn't the job of the elections committee to deal with these issues, that was really the province of the national election supervisor, who has been dealing with these issues. And so in that regard, there's nothing that's disenfranchising anyone.
Yes.
It's that no action of governance is disenfranchising anyone. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to, excuse me. Are there any objections to the motion from the elections committee about raising the $11,000?
I want to put my abstention there, Madam Chair.
Okay, we'll record an abstention from Adriana. Are there any other objections or abstentions? Okay, let the record show that Adriana abstained from voting to have elections. Okay, next up
Beth
is...
No, Madam Chair, that wasn't. You miscut...
Beth seeks recognition.
You are saying that I voted...
Adriana, I didn't recognize anybody yet.
You said what I said is not true. You cannot say what you just said. It's what you think, that's perfect, but it's not my attention wasn't in permitting
the members out of order
to go forward. I'm sorry. Hear what you say, Madam Chair, please.
Time has been called.
Yeah, time has been called. I'm sorry.
That seeks recognition.
Let the record show that Adriana abstained from the vote to raise the money to pay for the elections. That's what the vote was about.
That motion.
The motion was about paying for the down payment to get the elections going, the actual balloting subcontractor. Okay, we're moving on.
Point of information.
We're done with the elections committee report.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Does she not want to abstain? She wants to object? Can you just ask that question?
She said abstain.
Okay. Thank you.
That seeks recognition.
Just abstain.
Okay. Is this on the elections committee report, Beth?
Yes.
Please.
Adriana down is abstaining.
I've tried to wait patiently through resolution of these other things.
I've recognized you, Beth. Go ahead.
Thank you.
at last night's the last PNB meeting, the PNB suspended the election then in progress to replace KPFK representatives to the national election, or to all the national committees. The tellers disregarded the PNB's action, proceeded with that election process, and announced a winner in open defiance of the PNB. The election committee invited that supposed winner to replace one of the reps on the elections committee to participate in yesterday's committee meeting, which I'm saying now is inappropriate. The completing that election process was inappropriate, announcing a winner was inappropriate, seating recognizing that supposed winner and seating them alongside the current rep was inappropriate. That issue must be adjudicated by the PNB to resolve the issue before such presumptions are acted on. So I just want to register my objection. I want to get it on the record that that happened, that it's wrong, that I object. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're still in committee reports, and next up is the programming committee. Heather?
Yes, I'll be brief. We've been having some wonderful programming committee meetings, and I got behind in getting report from the last meeting we had to the committee. But one of the things we've been talking about a lot is about having a national news program. So I'm going to ask if Sue Goodwin is the one who's been primarily presenting this to us, which is absolutely wonderful. We will have a motion that we want to present to the board, but not yet, because all of the committee has not had a chance to see this yet or respond to the motion that we have. Sue, I'm going to ask if you could quickly tell the board something about the programming idea that we have, having a national news program. Could you do that, please, quickly? Is she still there? Sue, you're muted. Sue?
I do see Sue here.
Yeah.
I've asked her to unmute. Sue Goodwin?
Well, Julie, maybe she left us. We will get a motion before the board, and I apologize. I can't do it today. Sue, is she there? Sue? No, I guess maybe she left. But the idea is to have a national news program, actually, and be working with all of the Pacifica stations in order to do this. We talked about having it on a weekly basis. And I'm just really excited about that, about having that kind of energy and so forth. And, you know, and providing the opportunity to get the news from all the various stations that will be presented to the public overall, which I think would be absolutely wonderful. But we will have more discussion about that when we send out the motion to the board, which I'm hoping will be at the next meeting, Julie. So I do want to also recommend that I know we have the development committee and we have strategic planning committee and so forth. I think that the PNB needs to develop a fundraising committee altogether, actually. And I'm just mentioning that we can have a discussion about that at some other point, but I think we need a fundraising committee. So I'm just putting that up there as food for thought.
Thank you, Heather. Appreciate that. Any questions for Heather in the programming committee? All right. Next up is strategic planning, Jim Dingman.
All right. We're going to have a meeting on August 14th at 8:30, and we will have a draft strategic plan, which is based on some of the great work that Stephanie did and has been done by others around the country for everybody to scream and yell at us about. So we will actually put that forth. One thing I wanted to share with people is that 95%, some people can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but 95% of our money right now is coming from listener members. One of the things that we did just a few weeks ago is we had a meeting with somebody from Harvard where he was talking about the breakdown of how money is earned at other community radio stations and public radio stations in the United States. And remember, 95% of our money comes from most sources. The average NPR and community radio station, 40% of their money comes from listener members, 20% from private donors, 5% from local foundations, 1% from national foundations, 15% from the CPB, and other sources, 15%. So keep in mind, 40% on average to 50% in other stations in their networks, in the public radio network and in community radio, comes from those sources. Our dependence is on 95%. So as obviously the thrust will be, how do we diversify these income streams? Because this is, you know, this is a very serious crisis we're in right now. And time has come to really start changing things dramatically. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I have a quick question for you, which is the 20% private donors, is that like underwriting, which at least?
Yes, that's underwriting. That's underwriting in all sorts of different categories, but that does show you the importance of underwriting in our affiliates and in our public radio stations that are in our affiliate networks in all different types.
Got it. Adriana, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but I have a point of information because obviously I arrived late. I can see before the committee report, we have in the agenda that was approved a report from the NES. Did that happen already? We have Q&As after that?
Yes, the NES had other obligations, and so that's why we had to put her first on the agenda. So.
Okay, we are Q&A. I hope that it's all there in the recording, right? Did she answer any of the questions that were asked to her before?
There were a few questions that were asked of her. I don't remember what all of them were off the top of my head, but she answered a few questions, yes. And then, but then her time was up, so she had to leave. So
about the KPFT too, I mean.
There was not a specific question about KPFT.
Oh, okay.
That I recall. I could be wrong about that, but I don't remember that. Okay.
We are at time, Chair.
Thank you. Next up was Personnel Committee.
Personnel will be meeting on Monday, August 7th. We have not met since the last PNB. We are still at the stage of getting a chance to review the ED's self-evaluation, find out, create the list of who we will request evaluation forms from, and approve the just how we're going to go about asking people what language we're using and, you know, and what we're going to ask them to do. So that's for August 7th. And I hope we have quorum because we haven't been able for different reasons to have a meeting since, the last PNB meeting. Thanks. That's it.
Thanks. Any questions for Darlene and the Personnel Committee? All right, that takes us to the Development Task Force, Beth.
Thank you. One moment. I think I hit send on. No, I didn't. Here it is. There you go. I just sent this report in writing. So the Pacifica National Development Task Force held its regularly scheduled monthly meeting on Monday, July 17, with a total of 4 participants. Due to several competing Pacifica meetings that evening, the executive director was not available to meet with us this month, as she usually does, due to her attendance at one of the other competing Pacifica meetings. In light of the Pacifica's deepening financial predicament and the urgent need to increase revenue, those few of us present discussed the value of and necessity for market research and forward promotion. The next regular Pacifica National Development Task Force
meeting will be Monday, August 21st, 2023, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, as posted to KPFTX. And I would just point out that this is not by any means the first time this has happened. Double booking meetings like this is resulting in many meetings not able to meet quorum and therefore not able to proceed with their business. Heather says we need a national fundraising committee. That's what this is. And I'm mystified that function gets thwarted in the scheduling process so routinely. So I would like to request that others who schedule meetings, please look to see what else is scheduled at the time you have your eye on. And for committees or other meetings that are scheduling on an ad hoc meeting by meeting basis, that tends to bring chaos to the schedule as a whole. And I would ask please to look out at a distance, at least a few months. The rest of the year is not that long. And schedule on evenings. Monday nights pile up. Find time on other evenings when you're not going to be stepping on other meetings. Otherwise, I really have to question why the development task force continues. I show up every time, and others used to. When their time is demanded at other meetings where votes will actually be taken, then development is neglected. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Heather, I see your hand.
Yes, thanks. Yeah, Beth, I know that the development committee is involved with raising money, but the term development could be interpreted in so many ways. So I was wondering, could we have it called the development/fundraising task force? I'm just putting that out as food for thought. Just food for thought.
May I respond?
Go ahead.
Briefly. Thank you. Yes, the development task force was stood up complete with a name and a mandate before I ever came onto the PNB. And within a year, I was asked to chair. And I've been doing it ever since. And there has been some discussion about whether we want to revise the mandate or not. I pointed out that the task force itself is not in a position to do that. The mandate comes from the PNB. And in the world of fundraising and or development means fundraising. That is what we talk about every time. That's really all we talk about every time. We generated a list of potential revenue streams and go through them to look at what may be most promising. And I'm open to suggestions about what more that task force can do. If it would make a difference to change the name, great. We were getting routinely like 15 people out from around the country every meeting for the first year or so that I did this, until last year meetings started getting scheduled on top of it. And so the continuity is really cut into when that happens. So I'm hoping just that this repeated plea to respect the time that we've posted like months ahead will make a difference. And please, anyone who wants to discuss this or has ideas, you all know how to reach me. I'm wide open to suggestions. Thank you.
Teresa, yes. You're muted.
I thought you said it was on the 21st. I'm looking at KPFTX. There is a development task force on Monday, the 28th. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Okay, yes, thank you. I did that the 28th that I had plugged into the other meeting. Thank you for catching that.
Thank you.
There's something else I chair on the 21st. So thank you. Thank you. Yes, we will be meeting on Monday, the 28th of August. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Heather. Oh, never mind. Okay. Technology Task Force, Dingaman or Heather, did you have a question for Beth? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. No, I just wanted to, so Beth, thanks for your comments, but you know, what I'd love to see is this task force, development task force, which is so incredibly important as far as fundraising and so forth, but I'd love to see it. I'm just putting this idea out to the board, but development slash fundraising slash outreach task force. That's what I think it should be called. I'm just putting that out as food for thought for you, Beth, primarily, and Got other it. Board members, of course.
Thank you.
All right, Dingaman and the technology task force report.
Oh, Nancy has her hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Nancy.
I can dig out that old motion that was stood up when we did the standing up of the committees and forward that to Beth and whoever else is on that committee, and they can come up with a motion to revise that motion.
Yeah, would you make sure that Heather and I both see it too, Nancy? Thanks.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Great. Yes, go ahead, Dingaman.
All right. We had a meeting. Our next meeting is going to be on August 12th at 1 o'clock. We had a terrific meeting with Professor Thomas Patterson of the Shorenstein Center at Harvard University. Now, the main reason we had a meeting with him was that they are developing an initiative to fill in the absence in local newspaper decline around the country by juicing up public and community radio. So what was useful, Otis was on the phone call, a few other people were on the phone call. Patterson basically was very impressed. He was not as familiar with the innards of Pacifica as he was with NPR stations, which is what they based most of their study on. And the Shorenstein Center in the fall is going to bring in a whole bunch of fat cats to talk about putting in serious money. They were going to raise about $150 to $200 million to throw into local public radio. Now, their model was the average station's budget was $1.3 million, and they figure they want to bring in $1.3 million in additional money to finance news departments. Now, I don't have to tell anybody here and our audience that to add $1.3 million in a one shot and then think that will be sustained in the present financial situation is sort of impossible and ludicrous. However, I felt that it was worthwhile, and everybody who participated in that felt it was worthwhile that some positive was achieved in working with him. And he was open to all sorts of ideas, and hopefully we can work with him again and get other people from other universities who can help us out. That was my objective, and all of us felt we achieved that with this guy that day. That's it.
Thanks. Any questions for Jim? All right. Heather or Bill Foster, is there anything you want to report from the Affiliates Network?
I'm sorry, yes.
I think.
Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
I think Heather was going to start the report, and I'll add on to it.
Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to mention that there have been issues, certainly because of a lot of the financial problems we're having with Pacifica right now. And one of the issues, and I'm going to ask Stephanie to jump in here if possible, is that insurance for people who have had insurance in Pacifica and the affiliates, and that includes Ursula, that we were going to lose that insurance. So I was wondering, Stephanie, could you report on that? What happened? Were we able to pay to keep that ongoing for a little bit?
Yes, we were. Yes, I can. I have that in my ED report. But yes, we roughly owe $150,000 to DC Health, which covers the health insurance for WPFW, WBAI, the affiliate network, and the national office. We went through. It was ready to be canceled on the 31st, and we are roughly 4 months behind with the health insurance, with those divisions. And so pretty much every single month we get to this point, but this usually we are allowed to pay 1 month in order to get current and they won't cancel the insurance. But because this has been an ongoing issue for multiple years, they did not want just 1 month. They wanted 2 months. So, it was a bit of scrambling close to the end of the year, I mean, end of the month, because we also were facing the next payment that was due to NES, the payment that was due for Simply Voting, and also a $20,000 shortfall in payroll. So there was an exorbitant amount of money that we needed to get together last week in just a few days in order to get everything worked out. But thankfully to KPFT, who does not even participate in DC Health, we ran numbers projecting out their expenses over the next couple of months to make sure that any sort of gift that they would give or a donation or support, donation we're paying them back, but any sort of support for those insurance that wouldn't hurt their bottom line operationally for the next few months. So they gave up a little bit more than half of their reserve and put in $52,000 to cover DC Health. The WBAI was able to bring in $5,900 toward the health payment, and then the national office picked up the remaining $2,100. So we were able to pay it very close to the very last minute and be able to maintain everyone's health benefits for the next month. We still are again behind on those, but thank you very much to KPFT for stepping up and helping cover those costs when they don't even, again, have health insurance. So.
Yes.
Teresa.
Thank you so much for that. Sorry. Go ahead, Julie. Sorry.
I happened to be at the station when Ursula called and expressed her appreciation. She called me, said, I heard that, you know, there was a problem. And, am I correct in saying, Stephanie, that the affiliates had raised the money for their health insurance, but we took that money and spent it on something else? So when it came time to pay insurance, they had to get it from somewhere else?
No, the affiliates do pay their central services and they pay their health insurance payments. They had not, surprisingly enough, they had not made a health insurance payment for about 4 or 5 months. But they had also not paid their central services. They have the central services, but they hadn't paid them. So often because they have those central service payments, sometimes I ask Ursula and the affiliates just to hold off on paying it right away until we have one of those immediate needs. So for example, they were ready to put in money for the health insurance payments and also their central services because we were coming so close to people losing their health insurance. We were actually at a point that because we were 4 months behind, again, I can cover this in the AD report, but since we were 4 months behind, if insurance was to be canceled on August 1st, there were multiple things that were going to happen after that. There were union issues that were going to possibly result in a lawsuit. That was going to be on August 1st. There, because we were 4 months behind, the insurance not only would have stopped on August 1st, it would have been retroactive for 4 months. So any sort of medical bills and things that insurance had covered for the employees 4 months back, they would have had to owe that. So
I'm very sorry that you have to even be doing that. Borrowing from Peter to pay Paul must be very time consuming. But I have one other question. Can we find less expensive health insurance?
Yeah. So hang on. Teresa, can you just hold that question for the ED report part? And I mean, we'll get there, but
thank you.
Sorry. Darlene has pointed out that we're at time and, we were on the affiliates report. And so what I want to do is go to the next item on the agenda. And I'm sure that you all will have questions for Stephanie when we get to the ED report.
Could we just quickly hear from Bill Foster?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Let's hear from Bill. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Please.
Okay. We met with Ursula and Joan Ross, chair of the affiliates board, on the 24th of July. And Ursula Rudenberg expressed concern over a chat that was going around through, I think it was, well, wherever it was from, about replacing the affiliate's office with volunteers. And we all felt that that was totally out of order and unacceptable. I don't know exactly where it came from, but I just wanted to express to the board that that discussion is made in writing online. And we just want to say that is utterly ridiculous because they provide such a valuable service to all of us, including my little community radio station. And so I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention.
Ah, thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. I have to say, I don't know that there is a credible move to ask the affiliate staff to work as volunteers. So any rate, let's see. We have to keep moving, folks, because I think the next two items on the agenda are probably going to take a while, and we do need to get to closed session by 11 o'clock. So the next item on the agenda is introducing motions on terms for those elected in the 2023 election. So these next two items on the agenda are basically the resulting work product of the terms work group, which working group, which you know, the PMB passed a motion. I don't remember how long ago exactly it was, but it not the last meeting, but probably, you know, a few meetings ago. And so the terms working group got together and came up with, they were charged with two things. The first one is the question of whether the delegates who are running for, the candidates who are running for in the delegate elections now, are they running for terms that are 2 years or 3 years? And the reason it's a question at all is because we were slated to have elections in 2022 and we didn't have them in 2022. We're having them in 2023 as soon as we find that $11,000 to keep things going. But that introduces the question of what kind of terms the candidates are running for. So, and the second question that we were charged with was, a question about the KPFT, a particular KPFT delegate, and there's a motion on that that's on the agenda as well. So let me point out that the item says introduce motion on terms for those elected. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off by reading the motion from...
Madam Chair, I have a point of information before.
Well, okay.
No, it's because I see that Teresa Allen Hans is always up. I don't know if...
I'm sorry.
...Hans from before, or that was my question. Thank you.
Okay. What I'm going to do is read the motion in a second, but there's two things I wanted to point out. First, the topic is introduce the motion because... we're going to have to discuss the motion in part in open session, but in part in closed session. And so all we're doing here in open session is introducing the motion. What we will probably do, or what I think makes the most sense from a fairness standpoint, is to talk about the motion, you know, the open session components of it in open session. There's an aspect, basically legal risk, that we will want to talk about in closed session. We will talk about it in closed session. We will come back in open session in 2 weeks and finish the vote on this, right? So So basically we're being sharing as much of this as we, this conversation and debate, et cetera, as we can in open session. But there are components of this that are really strictly speaking closed session, which is the legal risk part. Okay. The second point I'm going to make is that what the term working group did was came up with basically two options, although there's kind of a third, but it's unclear whether how much or any support there is for the third option, but it's a possibility, so I'll read it out loud. And instead of deciding, we're bringing it to the PMB for a vote. And so what I'm going to do is introduce the motion. And so really the point is that the whereas clauses are the same for all three versions of, and the only thing that's different between the possible options that we have in front of us are the resolving clauses. So let me first read the whereas motions. Okay. I'm sorry, the whereas clauses. Whereas there were insufficient funds to hold elections in 2022, which was year two of Pacifica's 3-year election cycle in which half of the delegates would be elected. Whereas the PMB passed a motion on October 20th, 2022, providing that delegates whose terms would have ended in 2022 would continue to serve in 2023 if Pacifica failed to hold elections. Whereas delegates whose terms, that is in 2022, whereas delegates whose terms would have ended in 2022 were either in their first term and therefore eligible to run again, or in their second term and therefore ineligible to run again, according to the Pacifica bylaws, and the delay from 2022 to 2023 in holding elections does not change that eligibility status. Sorry. Whereas Pacifica is in the midst of the election cycle for 2023 with the record period having passed, the period for candidate nomination having closed, the ballots not yet sent to members and ballots slated to be sent to voters in the second half of August. And whereas it's important for voters to understand before they cast their votes, the length of terms to which successful candidates would be elected and serve. Okay, those are all the whereas clauses, and that's the same across all three versions of the motion. Option number one. Therefore, be it resolved that all candidates running in the 2023 delegate elections are running for 2-year terms, and that the elections.pacifica.org website and the ballot shall reflect this information. Pacifica elections would return to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections in years 1 and 2 and no elections in year 3, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2025, but not 2026. So that's the 2-year version. And one of the things I will also point out before I read the second option is that it's the red text that differs from one option to the next. So if you want to focus on the red text, that might be helpful. Option two is the resolving clause would be, therefore be it resolved that all candidates running in the 2023 delegate elections are running for 3-year terms and that the elections.pacifica.org website and the ballot shall reflect this information. This would also require a Pacifica bylaws change to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections from years 1 and 2 and no election in year 3 to years 1 and 3 with no elections in year 2, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2026, but not in 2025. And then option 3 is, therefore, be it resolved that candidates running in the 2023 delegate elections are running for a mix of 2-year and 3-year terms, with some candidates eligible to run for only a 2-year term. And but for that exception, the top voters shall get 3-year terms and the remaining elected delegates getting 2-year terms, and that the elections.pacifica.org website and the ballot shall reflect this information. Pacifica elections would return to the Article 4, Section 3 schedule of holding elections in years 1 and 2 and no elections in years 3, i.e. elections in 2024 and 2025, but not in 2026. So those are the three options before us. Each of them, by virtue of having not been able to hold elections in 2022, each of the possible pathways forward deviates from the bylaws itself. And I think one of the things that the term working group, decided to do was, put these out there and have the PNB kind of figure out which of the three options basically deviates from the bylaws the least. You know, obviously what would not deviate from the bylaws at all would be if we had held elections in 2022, but that didn't happen. And so what we're trying to do is figure out the pathway forward. So, I shall start recognizing people. Adriana.
Yeah, the first thing is a point of information, Madam Chair. Who were part of that? Because I don't remember when the PNB vote, who were that working group that you talk about? Who were the members?
Yes, I can list the members off. Donna Grimes, there was one director from every station. It was Donna Grimes, Ali Lexa, Marianne Martinez, Jim Sagerton, and Aki Tanaka. And I convened the meeting, I'll be honest. I have a Zoom account. Okay.
And can you tell me the other, because it's a report on the other one, can you tell me the members of the other committee? And obviously you select those members, right? In both committees?
Those are the members.
Working groups.
The working group.
Who select
That's
them?
It. That was it.
Who select them?
Oh, I believe the way we did that was I don't have the details of the motion that the PNB passed some weeks ago, but I believe the point was, what passed was, deferring to the chair to select the members.
It means that
and
you,
so I had to ask
both.
People, would they be willing to serve? Right.
Okay. Select both groups, this one and the other one, right?
I don't know what you mean when you refer to the other one.
The other one, because you have the other motion in the term limit of a member of KPFT. I want to know who were the members in that group too.
It's the same group. Yeah. No, it's the same group that was tasked with tackling both of those issues. They're on the agenda separately just because they're distinct topics, even though they were both assigned to the terms working group. They're both related to terms. Okay.
Okay, but you select the group. Thank you.
Yeah. Dingaman, your hands up.
All right. So you outlined three options. And maybe you can explain it in greater detail. Which is the option? Is it the first option that basically gets us back to, quote, the normal order? That is, recognizing that some people have served a third term because they were extended, actually they served 1 year into their 3 years. And then, and then I guess we have to have an election, in a year or so to get it back into kilter? I mean, what's the quickest way? What's the best option in there rather than to create a problem where people are serving 7 years again or something like that? I mean, how just to avoid that problem, what's the best option in there of those three options you selected?
That's a great question. So option one, which is everybody runs for 2 year terms, has the distinct advantage that it puts us, as soon as we're done with the 2023 elections, it puts us back on the regular cycle of elections per the bylaws, right? And it has no one else serving additional years that they're not entitled to. Okay. So it doesn't result in any more elections or any fewer elections over the cycle. What it will mean is that we will wind up having elections in 2023, which is part of the previous 3-year cycle, and then we'll have elections in 2024 and 2025, which are the first 2 years of the next 3-year cycle. Okay. But, you know, it's probably happened before and it'll happen again someday, right? Option two, where everybody runs for 3-year terms, what that does is that adheres to the part of the bylaws that says, oh, you elect delegates to 3-year terms, right? So what option one does is, it kind of, we're waiving what we're doing because we're in the bylaws, because we're not electing people to 3-year terms. We're electing people to 2-year terms, right? Option two says, let's continue to elect people to 3-year terms. But what will happen is that we will have, effectively changed the cycle of the, you know, the 3-year cycle of elections from elections in years 1 and 2 and not in year 3. We will have effectively put ourselves on a pathway where we're permanently doing elections in years 1 and 3 and not year 2, right? And along with that, if everybody runs for 3-year terms, then the people who right now are delegates who were first elected in, I think it's 2019, their first term was in 2019, so they served 2020, 21, and 22. They got extended, or they're, you know, we kept them on because we didn't have elections in 2022. So they've served a 4th year, right? They're eligible to run for election, but if we give them a 3-year term, then by the end of that 3-year term, they will have served for 7 years, right? Now, you know, go back and say, well, the bylaws also say you can't serve more than 6 years. So what if after 2 years, we just tell those people, you know, that they're done? Well, then we might as well have just gone with 2-year terms in the first place. Option three is kind of, I'm not sure option three, works, but it's kind of a split the difference in the sense that it says, you know, if you're not eligible to run for a full 3-year term, then you only run for 2 years, and that we would make it clear on the ballot who was eligible to run only for a 2-year term, because in effect, they were running, you know, for their second term, but they've already served in effect the first year of that second term. Were they, you know, successful in being reelected? Hopefully that was clear. So, did I answer your question, Jim?
Yeah, thank you. You clarify.
Aki.
Yeah, I just want to clarify about the, why the 3-year term doesn't break any bylaws. Number one, when we extended the term of the 2 3-year terms last year, the bylaw says that any term that expires is extended. So that means that people who served 1 3-year term or one who served 2 3-year terms, both of those terms get extended, so that they're not, you know, so that bylaws basically extends the term of both of those terms. So people who have served 3 years get extended, so obviously they can run again. The other thing is that the issue about the 2 out of a 3-year cycle, the reset, you know, doesn't violate the bylaws, because what we're doing is that it restores the 3-year cycle starting with 2023, which was disrupted because we didn't have election in 2022. We're not breaking the bylaws by restoring the 3-year cycle. So anyway, those are the 2 points I wanted to make.
Okay. Thank you, Aki. Adriana?
First of all, what I don't understand with all this discussion is like everybody's eliminating one of the bylaws. What is the problem? People, since we start with this election and with these new bylaws, people are elected always in 3-year terms. And then if the member, whoever was elected, reach the 6-year, doesn't matter in which part of that 3-year period, that person stepped down and the next runner-up goes up. That is the way that the bylaws solve the issue. Why we need to do something different here is the part that I don't understand. The bylaws are very clear that you are violating the bylaw. That's fine. You did it before. That's okay. You know, it's self-serving. But the reality, the bylaws solve this problem. We don't need any of us changing any of this.
Anyone want to respond to Adriana?
Yeah, I would.
Go ahead, Dingman.
All right. Well, I tend to disagree with Adriana's characterization of the self-serving aspect of this, because I should point out to us and the listeners listening out there, there's nothing in the bylaws that deals with the situation that we faced. That is, we cannot pay for an election. And for all I know, we're sitting here planning for elections that we will not have, we'll have the same problem occur given the financial situation. So, one wants to get back to the bylaws being compliant, but one doesn't, you know, I mean, again, the fiscal crisis is to me the one damn thing that has to be solved immediately with great energy. All this other stuff to me tends to be a waste of energy and doesn't solve the problems that we're trying to face right now. So I have to object when people use terms like self-serving, self-interested. I've seen more pejorative comments by some folks out there criticizing all this. Again, you know, the proof is in the pudding right now with all the financial problems getting into some sort of tornado-type vortex. It's ridiculous when we sit and debate that without considering that aspect of this problem that affects everything we're doing.
Thanks, Jim. Teresa?
I'm sorry. I disagree with the characterization of what's happening there. The bylaws, I think that the intent of the bylaws is that we practice a democratic voting method. And we use STV. If there are not enough people running and a certain number of people resign, then you're actually, because we have not developed any threshold of like minimum number of votes, then you cannot be seated. The way it has progressed is that we would go further and further and down until actually a person who's only voted for themselves could possibly be seated. So it is not the intent of the bylaws, I think, to allow the people to force the people who were asked to take a 6-year term, instead of taking a term, they resign and go further and further down on the people waiting. So I think that the 6-year term is the correct way. And I, you know, I'm sorry we're even discussing it because I think we're a little bit off topic. In regard to the 3-year term, I'm almost thinking that it's best to go with a 3-year term for these people in 2023 because we don't know what's going to happen in 2024 and we might not have an election. That's silly. I worked really, really hard last year to start the process of raising money to have an election last year, and it didn't happen. So I'm very tempted to go with the 3-year terms for the 2023 candidates.
Chair, yes, you did, Teresa. You worked
for this item.
Got it. You worked hard. I do see a couple of hands on the stack. Some of whom are people who already spoke.
Motion to extend for 10. Complete the stack.
So I will point out that it's 10:46 and, we have this and, the other motion on KPFT, the KPFT delegate before we go, and the ED report and Q&A. So I just saying that. Is there a second to Beth's motion to extend for 10?
Second.
I think I heard Adriana second it.
Point of information, Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Darlene.
I don't know the parliamentary term to call out to have this item put on hold, that tabled until the next meeting.
It's called postpone.
Can I jump in and put a motion to postpone?
Yes, you may.
I'd like to have a motion to postpone this, which is not necessarily going to go into effect before our next meeting. And
I second that motion.
Can we please go into executive session?
Well, it's not in order to do both of those, but this
okay.
is a motion to, it's a motion.
Yes, postpone.
Motion to postpone this item. Okay.
And Egberto has seconded.
Yes. Are there, any objections to the motion to postpone this to the next meeting?
Point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
If we send out ballots on the 15th, for example, does it need to say that do we need to be able to tell the candidates that it's for a 2-year term or a 3-year term that they're running for?
I think that is correct, except I think based on the NES report, it's clear that we're not sending ballots out on the 15th. It'll be delayed somewhat from the 15th. You know, the hope is that it's delayed not too much, but yes. And so,
okay, thank you.
So our next meeting is on the 17th. So that's not too much after the 15th. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone? Hearing none, we will consider this matter postponed to the next meeting. Okay. And so that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is the motion on the KPFT LSB delegate question. So this was the second question that the term working group was charged with dealing with. I'll read the motion and then, invite others on the term working group to help motivate. The motion is, whereas the 2018 delegates election was delayed such that Pacifica failed to meet the bylaws required initial December meeting date for newly elected delegates, whereas as a result of election delays, the 2018 term year extended into 2019, reducing the 2019 term year to less than one calendar year and thereby reducing the period of time to not serve in order to reestablish eligibility. Whereas Mike Lewis served out his 2018 term year extending into 2019, in good faith and was not seated with delegates elected to the 2019 term. Whereas the KPFT LSB removed 3 delegates from the LSB in 2019, rotating 3 alternates into those positions, including Mike Lewis, but that this action was quickly reversed by the PNB, rendering the service of the 3 alternates null and void. And whereas it is the responsibility of the Pacifica National Board to determine the best course of action to address consequences of failures to meet the requirements of the bylaws and to address those instances in which bylaws provisions are either in conflict or silent. Now, therefore, the Pacifica National Board confirms the decision of the KPFT Local Station Board to recognize the good faith effort of Mike Lewis to observe the 1 year absence from service and affirm his current service on the LSB as valid. All right.
Point of information, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
Can we have all the people whose hands have been up continuously on the last couple of discussions to take their legacy hands down, please?
Well, I can take them all down, and then we can just let people affirmatively put their hands up again. How's
that? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
Beth, with a point of order.
Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I just wanted to address a legal matter. I guess I should put it in the form of motion to amend the item on the floor such that any mention of alternate is amended to read runners up, because California law does not allow alternate board members in nonprofits.
Ah, excellent point. All right, and I think that that's a good point. I think the idea there is you're either on the board or you're not, and alternate sort of implies that you're kind of like a backup board member, and there is no such thing. And the idea here is, I think you're exactly right. It's that they're runners up who then become delegates, not that, that they're alternates. Okay. So I see, is there someone who will second Beth's amendment?
Chair.
Go ahead, Sagerton.
I was just seconding the amendment.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you. I see two instances of the word alternates, but I'll do a word search and figure it out. And so we will, are there any objections to, or is there any discussion of the motion to amend?
Yes. No, to amend. I'm sorry.
Can you put it in the chat? I don't understand it.
Okay. Hang on 1 second. There's one where it's all in one whereas clause, and I will paste it in the chat in just a second. Hang on. Okay. So first thing I'm putting in the chat is the whereas clause as it reads now. And now I'm going to put it in and I'm going to change it. One second.
If I might motivate very briefly.
Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, it's not my intention to change the meaning of the motion in any way. It's simply my intention to bring our vocabulary into compliance with current California law to prevent trouble down the line. It's not intended to change any part of the meaning or the function of this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead. So now I'll recognize the stack starting with Adriana.
I mean, first of all, my first point here is that version is the version from Director Martinez that is not true, have a bunch of holes in that, because the same members were the one that Delegate Mike Lewis was the first one that they used to vote to have in January of the previous, of 2019, they used him to have quorum in that meeting. In the one they moved me, because I have at that time 6-year term. and they keep him that wasn't a member, obviously. That is the first thing. I sent to the whole board the facts, not the fabrication, not the ideas of what was right or wrong. I sent the facts, and nobody consulted me before making this decision. And the third point is Mr. Mike Lewis was, the action of the board wasn't reversed that fast because he was elected again in August and the PNB changed at the end of October. In the meantime, Delegate Mike Lewis, that was serving again in that board, make a bunch of decisions with that board, even trying to punish one other member and bring in a trial against that other member. And he was instrumental in voting with those. Please don't tell me that he didn't do anything because it's not true. The PNB later on recognized that that board was a rock board and they really took people without any reason from there. That doesn't mean that he wasn't acting up during that time. And the bylaw between January till December is not the 12 months. Even if you don't count that he came back in August, he was in January 2019 and he was sitting again in December 2019. And in the meantime, he was sitting from August to November. And that is a fact that neither of you are really considering. And this is for you, Madam Chair. You said that you convened those groups. Were you part of those discussions too?
I'm sorry, part of what discussions?
Of those groups. You said that you convened those groups. And
yes.
Before, in the previous meeting, you told me a different member. You didn't tell me Aki Tanaka. You told me that Darlene Pagano was part of that group. It's in the recording. You can listen to the recording, Madam Chair. That is what you told me in the last meeting of the PNB when I asked who were part of that group working in Mike Lewis' situation.
I can affirm Julie never said that. My name was never used. I'm on the personnel committee.
Okay. We can listen to the recording, but that's okay.
Honestly, I'll listen to it if you tell me where it is, you know, time wise, but you know,
okay.
There's 24
maybe,
hours
maybe
in a day. I'm
okay.
Sorry. I'm
maybe
sorry. I was speaking. I'm sorry. I was speaking. All right. We're just moving on. Right. Sagerton, you're next.
Point of information. Beth,
go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. Is there any opposition to the motion that's on the floor before it gets lost in a shuffle?
Are we talking about the amendment?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Beth. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Actually, positively, we should be confining discussion to the amendment, which is to say, to use the word runners up instead of the word alternates. Are there any objections to the motion to amend?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, but I have lost everything in my chat for some reason, and I just went through some sort of freeze. I cannot see that amendment, and I would like to hear it again.
Okay. So if you can see the motion in the agenda, in the fourth whereas clause,
mm-hmm.
It says, whereas the KPFT LSDB removed three delegates from the LSB in 2019, rotating three runners up into those positions, including Mike Lewis, but this action was quickly reversed by the PNB, rendering the service of the three runners up null and void.
I see.
So,
okay.
So runners up instead of alternates. Okay.
I see. Thank you.
So that's the change. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to amend? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the motion amended. Okay, now we're back to discussion of the main motion, and I apologize. I don't know how we got went down the rabbit hole of not paying attention to the amendment on the floor. Sagerton, you're up.
Say is that we keep hearing repeatedly that the bylaws provide a way to fill vacancies caused by not having an election. That is not correct. The bylaws provide ways, several ways, of filling vacancies when people die, when they resign, when they're expelled, when they take a political position, etc. But they are completely silent, almost completely silent, on the question of how to fill vacancies if there's no election. They're really silent on the issue of what to do if there's no election at all. They don't, they were contemplating, apparently, they would not be able to have an election. So, the notion that that's the, to do that is incorrect, and it's consistent with our very democratic bylaws, which have to do with electing people, not promoting runners up because of an election, because again, that's not a specific reason that runners up are to be used. There are several, as I said, reasons that they are to be, they're enumerated in the bylaws. And when you have enumerated reasons for that, you don't just make up new ones that aren't in the bylaws. And then finally, I said that the bylaws were almost silent on what to do. You don't have an election. There is one clause where, you know, and it's not exactly on point, but the clause about what happens when an election doesn't reach quorum. And it says if an election doesn't reach quorum, the currently sitting delegates remain in place. And that's what happened with Mike Lewis in 2019. It was mandated by the bylaws that he stay in place. He could have resigned, but basically bylaws created a situation where he needed to stay in place. And then, bylaws also have a provision. If you don't take 12 months off, then you have to do a full 12 months off. So the bylaws do create a conflict and trying to resolve that conflict.
Fine.
Thank you, Sagerton. Next up is Beth.
That's a legacy hand. You got me already.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's 1 minute left on this item.
Yeah. Sagerton, did you have another point? Okay. Well, I don't see any more hands, so let's go to a vote on the motion. Let me first ask, are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Yes, Madam Chair, and my hand was up too.
Oh, I'm sorry, but sometimes I look away from the screen.
Your hand went up after we noted there that you needed to take the vote.
No, Madam Chair.
Well, I think I looked away from the screen when I said, were there any objections? Yes, Adriana, what would you like to say?
Well, I want to say just a little part of the bylaw. The bylaw said that it's not, no terms, no delegate's term could be added without a vote of the membership. And that is what happened, what you did before and what you did in this case. You cannot resolve it by a motion of the PNB. The bylaw is very clear that nobody can extend the term without a vote of the membership. Obviously, you will do whatever you want. And like I said, it's self-serving, but that's okay. That's okay. You have the majority. You can do it. But you are against, again, the bylaw. Thank you.
Think what you will, you know, it's a free country, right? Are there objections? Excuse me, you were not recognized. You were out of order.
Madam Chair, point of personal privilege. You just make a commentary on what I said, and you don't have that right neither. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I called you out of order because you were continuing to talk after we were going on to the vote. The question is, I asked for, in fact, I'm not even sure why I recognized you to speak a moment ago, because I'd already asked whether there were any objections, and you said you objected. So we're in the vote. Okay. We're in the vote. Are there any objections to the motion as amended other than Adriana's objection? Hearing no other objections, we will, instead of calling the roll call vote, we will consider the motion passed, but note the objection of Adriana Kasanev. Okay. Now we are at the ED report and Q&A, and it is 11:07. So, Stephanie, do you have things that you would share in open session? I know some of your report is really strictly closed session material, but did you have things that you wanted to share beyond what the NES was talking about?
Not that I haven't really covered in conversations that we had earlier with Teresa. I mean, I really just wanted to do a shout out and a thank you to KPFA for covering a $20,000 payroll shortfall last week. And then KPFK again for covering, giving $52,000 to cover the health benefits shortfall. And then WBAI that was able to put in $5,900, and then the national office covered the remaining $2,100, and the national office also covered the $16,000 for the NES. But very, very generous of KPFA and KPFT to do what they did.
Yes, and just a moment ago you said KPFK when you meant KPFP.
Shout out though to KPFK, because they not only covered their own health benefits, because we have separate health benefits, KPFK covered their own health benefits, and they covered the archives health benefits. So they were generous as well, with the funding that they had.
There you go. Awesome. Everybody gets a turn at helping out, other units in the system. Okay. So I think we'll go to executive session then, because we don't have Arthur for a general counsel report. So, and it's past our time. It's 8 minutes past our time certain. So I'll entertain a motion to move into executive session.
I move to go into an executive session.
I second.
Thank you, Heather. Are there any objections to the motion to move into executive session? Hearing none, at 11:09 p.m., we will move into executive session.